Hey everybody, this is Heather, and you're listening to Simply Healed with Heather Leonard. Today's episode is called Control Your Anger. Wait, I'm not angry. There's a reason for the name of this title. A lot of us are quick to anger and could be shaving years off of our lives, but we probably don't even think that we are angry. So I want to get into this and so much more. Thank you for joining, guys. Here we go. For those of you who've been joining me for a while, you know I hate to edit. Like, I just, to me, it doesn't feel authentic. It always sounds kind of awkward, and you can hear the little cuts in and out. Even if you're really good at it, it just doesn't sound like it flows. So I apologize for my intro today as I'm kicking over my whole stand that I'm recording on. I was like, nope, not gonna redo it. Nope, not doing it. All right, guys, I could have gotten really angry at this scenario. This is kind of what today's all about. Oh boy, there's been a lot of things happening in my life lately where, you know, anger could have erupted, and it really got me thinking about anger triggers. And so many of us are like, I am not an angry person. I don't like getting angry. I don't have outbursts. I'm really chill, calm, cool, collected. But the reality is, I've witnessed these very people who think they're so calm really have some major anger things going on. And almost by trying to stifle it, they're creating more health implications in their body. So I want to talk about this. First of all, let me just give a little backstory. I was getting my hair done this week, and I thought, I'll just get some summer highlights put in. Why not? Let's have a little fun this time. Like, first of all, I was coming off of a like late night. I hadn't gotten any sleep. Actually, I got 1 hour of sleep, which I haven't done that in a long time. So I was like not feeling great. I was like, I need to just go in, feel good, you know, rest, relax in the chair, let her take care of me. I'll be back to new and feeling great about myself by afternoon. Well, the girl, oh my goodness, she's so sweet, by the way. And I complimented her hair, so I think she automatically assumed, oh, she likes this, I'll give her this. And I was not looking to go that blonde, let's just say. She had like the real platinum blonde, two streaks on the side that kind of contoured around her face. You know, that's kind of like a whole trend right now. But anyway, when I saw it, I was like, whoa, that was a lot more than what I was thinking. But I didn't say it. I was a little worried, but I was like, you know what? It's hair, first off. Like, you can do just about anything. I mean, well, especially for me, my hair grows fast, so I never worry about it. You could change it back up if you really didn't like it. You know, you can get creative with how you style it and stuff to sort of blend it in. But anyway, as I'm sitting there thinking, not sure I'm a big fan of this, but maybe it'll grow on me, I look over and this woman comes in, and she had gotten her hair done, gotten home, decided she didn't like it, and came back. She was all up in her stuff about not liking the hair and needing it corrected. And you could almost see her fuming. Like, you could almost see, like, the movie, is it Inside Out? With the little anger guy, you know, the steam coming out of his ears is what I always picture, that little gif of his, like, bright red face and the steam coming out of his ears. It was like that, but she was, like, hiding it with a smile. And I was thinking to myself, well, first of all, her hair looked fine. It looked beautiful. But it's all about how we feel about ourselves, right? So I get it. She wasn't feeling good. And I was kind of in a similar like, ooh, what did I just do to myself? This is a lot. And her reaction was clearly like, oh, heck no, I'm going to fix this, right? So anyway, I just started thinking, how many times a day do most of us have an experience that is getting our insides just like, I don't know, just a little up in their stuff? And so even with this title today, I'm sure a lot of people read it and were like, oh, well, that episode's not for me. I don't have anger issues. And that little defensiveness around it is a little spark of anger. So just to put perspective around it, it's not about how you necessarily are feeling. You might not be feeling like this fuming, angry feeling. It's about what your body is experiencing. So as soon as you start to like negate something you hear, or like start feeling accused of something that you're not, or witness some, why am I tangled in my cords today? Sorry, guys. Some kind of injustice, right? Any of those things can sort of start to get things moving inside, and chemically, a lot starts happening. So even if you're not thinking that you're necessarily worked up. Your body can start getting worked up before you actually start to really feel those feels. So imagine by the time that you actually get to the point of erupting and or speaking out in anger, how much has already happened in your body. And so this is where minding your thoughts can really come into play and be really helpful. I had a Facebook member, Facebook group member. I have two different groups that I run. One of them is just a free group that I do to support people going through hard grief. I do free coaching inside, give tips on what works for me. I kind of talk about what people really need around grief and why I think they need it. And then for some people that just want the, like, how did you do it? Like, show me the how to. I have a paid group. So, I save those sort of, like, you know, breakdowns for my clients. And so inside of my free group, I would say like once to twice a year, maybe if that, I will let them know about treatment options that I offer, you know, in the way of my hypnosis sessions or my Facebook group that is for clients only where I give the how-tos or my program that is like a bigger 10-week intensive, like, let's just get through this together with some one-on-one support and all this other stuff. Anyway, I very rarely, like, I don't advertise. I really don't. I haven't had to so far. I've been kept busy with all the things I have going on. But, you know, every so often, I feel like if I'm sitting on this solution, I should mention it to people. And plus, it doesn't hurt business, right? So I, this week was like, all right, what do I want to do for a coaching post? And as I was going with it, at the end, I was like, you know what? I'll just throw in, hey, for those of you who are looking for a way to actually get this back, I do offer this solution. Just like post a me below and I'll make sure to reach out to you. That simple. It was like not a big thing. Wasn't up in your face. It even had a free coaching post attached to it. And this woman really kind of laid into me. And she said, I hate people like you, which to me, that first sentence, like, just, it switched something inside me, because what I do is free. You know, it's a free service I provide just to help people. So this is where it gets interesting, because I could say to you, well, don't let things, you know, rub you the wrong way. Just keep your, you know, real strong in what you're doing and it should never bother you. Of course it bothers you. It mostly bothers you when it hits something that's like a trigger point inside, something that is either so contrary to truth that it really just bothers you that someone would think that about you, or sometimes it hurts because there's elements of truth in it. You know what I mean? And her comment, I knew there was no element of truth in it, but I also have a similar sentiment of hating when people try to prey off the grieving. So she kind of struck two chords with me, you know, because there was the one that was like, really like, no, that's not me. I don't do that. And then the other side of me that was like, yeah, wow, I really hate when people do that too. And now she's saying that I'm that, which is something that I really despise. So I was like, whoa, that one, like, it really got me. And I didn't think it would have. I thought I had sort of grown beyond some of that, but I had to read it a couple times and I was like, you know where it's coming from. Because if at face value, I don't even think she remembered. I think this came through in her general, you know, feed as she's going through scrolling. And I don't even know that she connected it to this free group she's been in and a part of for so long, where she has, you know, probably received support and, you know, help. And like, probably if she had realized where it was coming from, might not have even felt that way. It was just like, oh, here's another person trying to, like, you know, and I get it. I totally get it. But, and I had another member in the group who is a very active member, great guy, immediately spoke up on my behalf and said, you know, and supported what I do. And I felt good about that. But also I was still feeling like, wow, the fact that my members even feel the need to defend me here, I'm not reading this wrong. Somebody really is upset with me. And I had to sit with it. But what the part that's hard is, before I could logically, like, think through how to react or respond to this, it was too late. The stuff was already happening in my body. I could already feel this sort of, like, energetic shift within me and sort of like my heart racing a little and like I was upset. And everybody could say, well, you know, we all are entitled to feel that way sometimes. Of course things will trigger us. Of course things will, you know, get us upset. But here's the deal. It's what we do next that matters, because that feeling could have festered and stuck with me for days. I could still be sitting here talking about how wronged I was. I could have come back at her with like a real nasty response. Like there's so many things and ways in which that could have carried on and been this new vibration that I was carrying for a duration of time. Now, the way that I manage in my life to not be an angry person, to not walk around with these bad, low vibrational energies, is that I acknowledge them. I don't shove them down and swallow hard. I do not do that. I literally try to empathize in those moments. I put myself in her shoes. I'm a grieving person. I see this person trying to make money within an ad, like, you know what I mean, advertising to the grieving that they have some solution that's going to make them feel better, when I don't believe that anything will make me feel better. So if I'm in that headspace, I now feel like not hurt and heavy, but I do feel her pain. And in that moment, I like transmuted that anger into compassion and understanding. And I was able to then respond to her in a way that wasn't mean or hurtful. I know a lot of people are just like, oh, block, oop, you know, kick them out of the group, whatever. Like it's just a real quick, I'm not gonna let people talk to me like that. That's still coming from a driving force of anger. And I didn't want that. So instead I responded in a way that I acknowledged exactly what she was feeling and said, I completely understand, because I do. You know, I too feel the same way. I let her know that, you know, I'm not making money off this group. I'm paying money to keep it open just to support and help others because, you know, I've been through it. And so I understand how it feels. And I really feel like that for me, when I first lost my husband, the only way I could receive any kind of advice was through other widows and widowers, because I knew they got it. They weren't just coming at me with like, oh, just give it time and all this BS that just hurts your heart. I was not getting that from them. I was getting, yep, it just sucks. And that was an acknowledgement I needed at that time. And I was able to open up to people who got it. So in that way, that's kind of what drove me to start coaching through grief. Well, that, and I had people reaching out and asking me to do it. But the reason I said yes was because I realized, you know what, that this is a more of a helpful way when you have someone else who's walked the walk. You know, they're not coming at you in judgment or in a way of trying to help, but really having no clue what you're feeling. And so I explained it to her in that way. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because what happened then for me was I didn't feel the frustration and anger anymore. I wasn't worried about anything really. It was just like a, hey, maybe this can help her through what she's feeling right now. It is really, really a hard thing to witness other people in real angry places, but coming from places of hurt. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing. There's some people that are just triggered. Like, I know a few people who, man, like, the sky is blue and they are fired up about it. Like, you know what I mean? Sometimes you wonder, like, do you ever have a down moment where you're feeling good? Like, I don't know how you're this angry all the time about every cause. Everything gets you so fired up. But there are also, to me, certain things, especially when I can see it coming from the place of hurt, that I have compassion for anger. I used to be somebody who would get like triggered off. Like I would just be so cool and calm, and then something would happen. It was like a switch and I would hit that point of boiling over. I used to think all the time, I need some anger management classes. I really do. I need something. Like this isn't healthy and I should be able to control it. And I don't know what was triggering it. And so when I finally dug a little deeper to figure out where is this coming from and why am I this way, one, I don't think I had like a, like when we're young, we learn how to control our anger and how to sort of dispel it. And I don't know if I had like a great, I feel like half the time, this is not about always blaming our parents, by the way. Our parents didn't mess us up, but they did the best they could with what they had. And I just don't think that like there was like a real, just generationally speaking, even like there was not a lot of talk about how to like manage certain emotions. It just isn't really something that you're brought up being taught. So you either learn it by observing it or you don't. And I guess I had just not really learned a good solid way to manage that. So it would kind of go from like, I'm okay, I'm holding it down, to boiling over. And what was happening internally inside me when I really started to like dissect it and why am I getting like this? It was that my anger was always coming from a place of fear. And when it was rooted in fear, there was just no way for me to, hold on a second, I'm going to adjust this cord again so you guys don't have to listen to this the whole episode. When it was coming from fear, there was no way to just say to it like, how do I say this? Because fear is just something that is rooted in wanting to protect something you love, I think. I mean, for me, it was always that. It was always like, I could see my kids not listening to directions that I was giving them to keep them safe. And so it was like, I'm saying it again, I'm saying it a third time, a fourth time, whatever it was, and getting to a point where like no one's listening, I'm not getting heard, and I know my words have value, I know my words are going to protect them, and they're still ignoring it. And I think even now just talking about that, I can feel it in my chest and into my throat. And so knowing some of those things in your body that start to shift, like it's helpful for me now, because when I can start to feel it, I can then pay attention to it for a minute and go, all right, you know, this is coming from a loving place. Let's not turn it into something gross, you know, like, but you have to be able to recognize when it's starting to come up. And then from there, I've now recognized ways to start feeling that coming up in my body and then pause the whole situation and just like call my kids in and say, hey, come here real quick. Like, I need you to look me in the eye and hear what I'm saying right now. I'm about to get really angry and I don't want to get angry with you. It's coming from a place of me feeling scared for your safety. You are not listening carefully to my words. Like, I'm going to use an example that didn't happen, but like, you're still holding the knife in your hand and running. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a safe thing and something really bad could happen if you don't listen to my words. So instead of getting angry, instead of having to then have you have a consequence of me taking things away and shouting and saying things I don't mean, let's make a change right now together. Like, you know, things like that can just really change things for me. But, and I want the next generation to do better. I want them to learn to have ways to go, oh, here it comes. Like, yep, and I know why it is. Let me just have a talk. Let's just slow it down a minute. You know, I want them to be able to, I don't know, take some of these methods that are working for me now and be able to use them for their kids. But, you know, because nothing comes from like slamming doors or, you know, screaming and yelling. And then it's like all of the point of it all is lost anyway, because at that point we're focused on these anger outbursts. We're not actually focused on the other person's words. And it's scary to people. I mean, when you start getting like that, it's like, whoa, you know, no one wants to be in that energy space. And people that are bickering and fighting and all of that all the time, you need to get out of that. That pattern, well, one, there's this trickle down effect. There's people around you that are taking it in. They don't deserve to have to be stuck in that energy. Yeah, I was just at a restaurant a couple weeks ago and there was a full-on food fight happening behind us with a couple that, according to the bartender, were headed for divorce because whatever was going on. But it's not to say keep that stuff hidden behind closed doors. It's to say this stuff shouldn't be happening. If this stuff is happening as a regular pattern within a relationship, most of your energy and your days are spent in a place of just pure unhappiness. It's not healthy for anybody. So figuring out like what is bringing it all up, where is it coming from? Is it from a place of, you know, fear? Because there's like a very thin line, I feel like, between a lot of these emotions. And so for me, like I said, it's coming from a place of fear, but boy, it's not going to take much for fear to erupt into anger if I can't figure out how to control my fears and my worries and my, you know, so if I can manage that, it never gets to the place of anger. But if the person that you're spending your most time with, your children, your spouse, your best friend, whatever, if they are always the person who is bringing this emotion up inside of you, look deeper. You know, what is happening here? They're reflecting something to you. They're, you know, there's some reason that they really are triggering you. And it could be that, you know, you have dealt with your anger and now you're watching them have these outbursts and they're not doing it well and they're yelling and screaming and it's just, it feels gross to you. And then that triggers stuff for you. And then you're, you know, I mean, it could be one of those things. It could be that, you know, they're sort of emotionless maybe and just more dictating, hey, you need to do this today and that today and would you ever get around to this? And like, I've seen a lot of relationships like that lately where it's like, here's my honey-do list and see you later. Like, what? I mean, all right. I like to talk about love on this show because I got blessed having something really good. And so I want to share with you guys because a lot of you, I think, really believe that's just the way it is. And in a marriage or whatever, this is just where it eventually comes to. It should not. I mean, I woke up every single morning with somebody who just could not stop smiling at me, couldn't keep their hands off me, was so excited to spend their day with me. And that's how you should feel every morning. Wanted, desired, excited for your day, happy to be around the person you're with. And if you're not, figure out why. Just fix it is all I'm saying. Like it shouldn't just be another mundane routine. Get out of bed, turn off the alarm clock, brush my teeth, get my, you know, whatever. It's just what? No. Like get excited or figure out why you're not is what I'm saying. Like there should still be passion, excitement, love, all the things. Like even if you're a single person, when you wake up in the morning, you should love your life. You should be excited for your feet to hit the ground and so you can get back to doing that thing you love to do. You know, that's what they mean when they say loving yourself. People are always like, ugh, I roll. I love myself already. Like, stop talking about this. I'm whole. You know, I, whatever. I feel, yeah, I feel broken because of the things that have happened to me, but I'm still like, I've done the work to be better and I still have these emotions, but what am I supposed to do about it? Well, what I say is find something you're passionate about. If you're not passionate about a life partner because you don't have one in your life, that's fine. Get passionate about yourself, about a skill, about a hobby, like find something that you can't wait to go do. Like maybe it's just a run around your neighborhood. Like I can't wait to get out there and like smell the lake air and like feel the sun on my face. I can't wait to get on my computer and start writing that book again. Like I can't wait to get back into reading that great book I started or watching football. I don't care what it is. Like there's got to be something you get excited to do. And if there's not, start making some lists. Like there should be something you're passionate about or start joining classes. See if maybe there's some sip and paint class that you could take or something, and all of a sudden you found something new that you love to do. But just giving up on life or like getting out of bed in the same mundane routine way is like, oh, that to me is, there's no worse life experience than a pattern that you're stuck in or like a relationship you're in that doesn't give back to you, doesn't make you feel good, doesn't make you want to just hug on that person. Like you should want that. Like what on earth is happening? I don't know. But maybe because I just got so blessed with a marriage that really was that for, you know, so many years that I just feel like it should not die out. It shouldn't die down. It shouldn't hit these slumps. Like if it does, reignite, do something. Like find a way. There was something initially, right? There had to have been something initially in this person that got you excited to the point where you were like, I can spend a lifetime with this person. Or if you're just dating or whatever, like maybe you haven't gotten there yet, but like something that you see in them that made you want to sign up and go, hey, this is my person right now. Like I want to spend more time with you. And if there's not, what on earth are you doing? You know, time is so special and precious. Don't give it away to the wrong people. Don't spend your time doing things that just feel routine. You know, don't spend your time working away at a job that makes you feel like, ugh, it's Monday morning, I've got to get up and do the thing again, or you're doing the wrong thing. All right, this is a perfect place for a quick break. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Well, you know, I mentioned in today's episode all about how it can be triggering to have an advertisement placed in front of you when you're just looking to get some free content. So I'll make this quick, but let me just tell you, I am doing some hypnosis sessions right now. I just opened it up to my clients and to my free Facebook group, and I have opened it up to the podcast listeners. So pretty soon, guys, I'm just going to be sort of publicly announcing and making more ads out there, and it's going to, the time slots are going to start filling up. So I just want to give you guys all the heads up. Get in now while there are good times available, while I have spaces available. It is for anything that you want to make changes on that are happening in your subconscious mind, any messaging, any bad habits, anything that you just want to change about yourself. Hypnosis is fast. It is permanent. It is powerful. And I just want that for you. So if you are interested, I will drop a link in today's podcast description so you can get more information. Anything custom that you want, though, reach out, email me. I'll drop my email in there as well. And so we can talk about it. But guys, back to the show. You know, what's really interesting about anger is that angry outbursts only get more anger back. So it's like the most unproductive experience, I feel like, in life. So my kids, they're on vacation this week, and watching them interact, they're finally at the age where they fight. They never fought. I just was so blessed. My oldest was meant to be a big brother and just adores still, but you know, really when he was little, adored his little brother. And so he could do no wrong. So even when my littlest would act, you know, crazy, my oldest was just so tolerant and let it happen. And so now that he's finally sort of growing a spine around boundaries and stuff, and really starting to be like, yeah, no, I'm not just gonna give in to you all the time, they're clashing. But it's funny to watch, because I mean, funny and sad really, but when one of them explodes at the other one, never has a positive solution ever come from it. I have never witnessed it. And I keep watching to see, like, is there a reason why they're doing this? Like, what is the point? As soon as one of them doesn't like something the other does, they just go, duh. And, you know, and they kind of just like this nasty little, like, why are you doing that? And it's like the other one then is like, oh, knock it off. And they're like shoving each other, and they're like, why are you? And they just, like, their tone and their facial expressions and their body language and everything is just so gross. And of course the other person just responds back with the same gross reaction. And it's like, okay, well, that accomplished nothing. But the few times that I've like intervened and stepped in and said, all right, why don't you try saying to him like why you're feeling how you're feeling? Instantly they have solutions. It's like the same loving compassion still exists within my oldest towards his brother. So when the youngest will actually look at him and go, oh, I wish that you had done this because now I can't do blah, blah, and you know, and lets the disappointment out instead of the anger, he immediately is like, oh, all right, hold on. And then he'll find a way, even if he doesn't really want to, and he's kind of like, oh, he'll do it. He'll make sure that he doesn't leave his brother feeling sad and disappointed. Because I feel like at the core of most of us, we don't want to make other people's existence sad. Anger is different though. Like if someone else is already angry at you, it's real easy to like want to respond back, angry back at them. You know, that experience and exchange doesn't feel bad, but it does feel bad when one person is acknowledging feeling low and sad, and then coming at them angry. That doesn't usually happen, right? We feel compassion when we see other people in a sad state. I feel like that's just that empathetic bone within all of us where we go, ooh, yeah, all right, I can help with this. Like because it's easier to see their point, right? You can see where they're coming from. You've had a similar experience in your own life maybe, or you just see that it's making them feel hurt, so you don't want that. So you try to find solution instead of the anger, which usually elicits this like trigger within us of like, what are they angry with me for? Like, I didn't do anything. You know, it's just like up in our stuff. Like, what? You know what I mean? So, oh my goodness. So yeah, like that's not something that's easy or that comes naturally to people to respond that way when they're being met with anger, or like when they're being, I'm not saying anger, like when they're met with something that's upsetting, that's what I'm trying to say. So like for my youngest, he's being met with something that is very upsetting to him. And for him to be able to pause and instead of getting angry, recognize that the feeling of being upset is really about being bummed out and sad about something, and then being able to vocalize it, that's asking a lot of like adult emotions. And most of us adults do not do this well at all. So they've not really witnessed it. They've not really like this is not a natural reaction. So, I mean, what we're really saying here is that like, we're gonna have to grow a new way here, like figure out a new way to do things. So you have to be aware when you start feeling it building up inside you, you have to then verbalize emotions. Guys, how often do we actually verbalize how we feel? Ooh, right? Gross. Nobody likes to talk about their feelings. It's like, no, we like to just, I don't know, brush that stuff, tuck it down. I don't know. There's a lot of messaging from childhood there again, especially for men to like sort of tough out feelings, don't show them. Just take control of the situation. And that's not really helpful to working through, because we live from a place of reactions to our emotions. So if our constant go-to is to show strength and control and composure, and it's not to reveal really what we're feeling, it ends up that in the end, we end up with more cold relationships and, you know, this lack of, we're not going to get other people showing us good emotion and love. And, we're going to end up with people that show us more of this restrained, you know, just going through the motions, because you're going to get met with really what you are. And if you get into that place of just, you know, burying this stuff instead of working through it, if you are just going through the motions of life and sort of swallowing back all of the feelings, then that's what you're going to be receiving. And that experience of just people going through motions, that's where like sickness comes from this. And I'm not just saying this to, you know, sort of scare you into your feelings. It's true that these hormones, and I love talking about them on this show, because hormones run things in our bodies, and our whole experience, our outer experience, is largely driven by these internal hormones at play and the balances of them all. And, you know, I hate cortisol, even though it's got its place and I gotta give it some love for what it does to keep me safe. I hate the fact that it lingers. I hate the fact that it can make sickness develop in our bodies. And I feel like this whole season is really about stress control and finding ways to manage not keeping those stress hormones at their peak 24/7. And anger and, you know, swallowed down, held in anger and angry outbursts and fighting within relationships, that is really leading to more sicknesses in our society today. So we have to gain control over this. And if we're already in denial that we're even an angry person, but yet, you know, as soon as something happens, we have an opinion about it, that we're kind of like this woman that responded to me, you know, and she was kind of like, oh, hate people like that, blah, blah, blah. That's anger. It didn't come out. She didn't yell at anybody. She didn't have this big, you know, she didn't even say that much nasty words, but it, I mean, saying I hate people like you is kind of harsh, but but I'm saying like, it's not like she was screaming, yelling, and fuming, but it doesn't mean that that internal experience wasn't happening for her. And after I triggered her with my post, she likely carried that all day long with her. And that she might have even mentioned it to someone else. Can you believe, you know, that whole, that means you're still, I can almost feel it. Like if you walk yourself through feeling like that, because we've all been there where we see something that really just turns us off or whatever. And if you allow it to fester and like stay inside your body all day, ooh, I mean, traffic, some people, every time they get in their car, they're already up for a fight. And I know that I was somebody who used to largely get triggered in the car because I didn't like to see, this is so funny, but for me, the biggest trigger was people who don't have common sense. You know, if there's a sign right there and it says your lane is ending, and then they're sort of just driving mindlessly forward without even thinking about merging. They're just, you know, I start thinking, one, again, fear-based, like, of, like, this is going to cause an accident. But I think, like, it also just triggers within me, like people that feel like they're entitled or people who just have no awareness of other people around them and how their actions could affect others. Like, there's layers to the things, right? So maybe uncovering why, like, why does traffic drive you so crazy? What is it? Who are the people that you want to yell at? Is it the people who aren't going as fast as you want to go? So why does that get you angry? Are you somebody who's always cutting it close on time so you don't have the time to give? I used to get upset sometimes with people that would drive really slow until my husband's vision started to go with his cancer fight. And he was still working full time, but his distance vision, and it wasn't something that could be corrected with a corrective lens, but giving up the control over driving is major, and it would have been a major hit to our family. And like, he was safe with it, but it meant he had to slow down, you know. And so all of a sudden, whoosh, like, I see it now. You know, I see this elderly woman behind the wheel who's nervous and trying to stay safe and keep others safe. And so when you see that, instead of seeing this person who's just out for like a, you know, a drive, like taking their sweet time or whatever, when you can see it as this elderly grandmother who might not be able to see that great and she's trying to keep your kids safe, you know what I mean? Like, then you can have compassion. But you gotta dig, you gotta figure out, why do these things get me elevated? Why do I get angry every time I'm at the subway and this happens? Why do I always get angry when my kids leave the dirty dish in the living room? Like, what is it? What's got you so upset about it? And dig a little deeper and then do some internal work on it and then communicate the feelings around it. You know, because when I've said to my kids, like, all right, guys, now it's just mom. You know, dad died. It's just me, one parent. Two kids, one parent. One parent who's working and is mom and is a house cleaner and is the cook and is the driver and is, the, you know, I go through the whole list with them and I'm like, so just me. And I've asked you a bunch of times to put the plates when you're done with them in the dishwasher, but you're leaving it in the living room on the end table. And now look, there's like four plates, two cups, you know, silverware, whatever. It's like all piled up right there. And now it's my job to have to clean it up and put it away. Does that seem fair? And they were like, whoa, like you could see it really hit them in a way they had not really even thought about it. They weren't trying to be hurtful to me. They weren't trying to upset me, but they were just, you know, doing what felt easy and good to them, and in doing so were triggering and hurting me. But when I stopped, instead of getting angry and being like, how many times do I have to tell you to put your dishes in the dishwasher? Because I hear people say that to their kids all the time. How many times do I have to tell you? Instead of that, instead of just sitting with them and being like, let's look at it from mom's point of view for a minute. Like, I am working my butt off. And then I come in and like, the one job you had, you're playing on your video games. The only thing I've asked of you is when you're done eating to make sure that goes there, and you have not done it. How do you think it makes me feel? What do you think it makes me want to do? And they were like, oh, punish us? And I was like, well, I mean, I need to give you a consequence so you realize there's a consequence to the action of not listening. So is that what I should do? And they were like, no, no, I'll put it away, you know. But then after that, I noticed there was awareness around it. And I only had to say it to them once. And now, like, there's been once or twice where they forget, and when I walk in the room, they look over at it, go, oh, and they quickly go and do it. And it's almost like if I had yelled at the top of my lungs, I wouldn't have gotten a reaction like that. But that talk has stuck with them. And I think they recognize now, wow, I've got a single mom who's working really hard, who's doing all these things, and I'm really not doing anything. Like, I could help, you know what I mean? And now they ask me more often, what can I do to help? So that's powerful, right? And it was just a calm conversation. And it was a conversation about my emotions. Now, I know, guys, I'm saying again, like, this is something that might make you cringe a little, like, oh, I don't have to talk about my feelings all the time. But when people know your feelings, when they know why you feel how you feel, it's so much easier to just be calm. And so maybe you say to that partner, like, man, we've been waking up for months, just rolling out of bed and going back to the daily routine. I remember the last time you looked at me first thing in the morning and just grabbed me and, like, you know, gave me a big hug, wanted to hold on tight, wanted to, like, you know, take an extra five, like, set the alarm 5 minutes earlier in the morning so that we had a minute with each other, like, anything like that. That's going to make them feel desired instead of being, like, annoyed and eye-rolling and stuff because they're not doing it, or complaining to your friends about how it's not that way anymore or whatever. Talk to them and let them know, because then they feel desired. Then they are like, oh, you want this to be different too? So do I. You know, I mean, maybe that'll fix things. I don't know. But everything that I've ever had work out within my marriage was always because we were awesome communicators. We didn't let anything go unsaid. If there was ever a time where we were like, what the heck, we would say it. I mean, every day when my husband would come home from work, he would slide through that door, grab my butt, like, just, he just didn't care. He did not care. He would be like, I have missed this all day. And I loved that about him. It made me feel like this is somebody who sees me as, like, the prize at the end of their day. There's no better feeling than that. I'm going to tell you right now, you need to have that passion, all of it. It should just still stay fired up like that throughout. There's zero reason for that to die out. You can reignite and sparkle that. Do it. Like, don't just keep going through the motions is what I'm saying. Because, I don't know, a life without all of that just feels kind of blah. And I think that's been the only reason that I ever got motivated again to find love again. Because I really was so satisfied within my marriage that initially I said, I'm never gonna, like, date again, get married. It was just like, you know, I did that and check that box and I can move on knowing I had something so great. Like, I'd rather that than have something that's less than that, you know, for the duration of my life. So I was happy and content. But then I realized, man, it was so good that I know what I'm missing now. I know what's available out there. And I know that that feel good feeling, that's funny. That internal, like, excitement about another person is so good that everybody should have that in their life. And so, yeah, that's what's got me back to feeling like I'm happy to pursue that again, you know, to get back to that place of just feeling like it's more than just routine. It's more than just a daily to-do list. It's more than just, you know, having a partner to, like, go to the grocery store with. It should be somebody that is your best friend. It should be somebody that you are so feeling so blessed that you get to have, you know, waking up to you every day and, like, pour into them as much as you want to be poured into is what I will say. And there's very little chance that if you start upping your game a little bit and pouring more into that person that they won't reciprocate it. Think about it. If somebody's pouring into you, it's, like, hard for you to not want to do back, right? So, like, just start there. Maybe even if you don't feel like communicating the emotions, you know, maybe just start by upping your game and doing more and giving more, and then see how they reciprocate is what I'm saying. So, yeah, I feel like I should scream at y'all in the episode just to stay on par. Oh my gosh. Go do something fun. Oh my gosh. Having my kids at home this whole week, it's so funny that, like, I thought, if anything, there was going to be a lot more of, like, me being exasperated and just, like not yelling at them or whatever, but just, like, a lot of, like, how many times do I have to tell you to do this? None of it. It's been a great week because I've finally gotten control of myself, guys. Like, I don't know. It took many years to get to the point where I don't ever yell like that, but, like, you know, snippy with them, like, all right, Kim, everybody pick up their stuff again. Like, that annoyance, that's anger. And I don't do that anymore because I've just, like, found my ways around it. So I want that for you too. So hopefully try some of these tips. Get back to me, comment, let me know how it all goes, because I don't know, I think there's some real magic in communication and acting the way you want to be treated, all that stuff. But Let me know what works, guys. All right, thanks for joining today. Keep following, listening every week, telling your friends. I want to just keep growing this channel. So thanks, guys. I'll see you later.